Shalom, brethren. A very good morning to you all. We thank God has given us this another day, and we praise him for his grace that he has bestowed upon us. I thank God to have this opportunity, and also we thank Brother Andrew Piri for creating this platform whereby those separated by boundaries, by hemispheres, but we can still come together in the love of God to share and to be blessed by the word of God. And we pray that the Lord will help us and make this not only an opportunity, but a foundational stand whereby we can be of one heart, one faith, and one hope. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come before thee, before thy mercy, because, Lord God, you found it worthy in your own sight that you bring us to the Lamb who is worthy, that Father, also we may be accepted in your love divine. We thank you, Father God, for your grace. Now, even as we read your word, we pray, Father God, that you bless it and that you open our hearts, Father God, to the light unto which, Father God, you have called us. We want to commit this session this morning into your hands for your glory. For we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as we pray. Amen. We just want to go back again to the book of John as we come to the final stage of our daily devotion for this week. Let's go to 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Now, as we see here, what the Apostle John is pointing us to, we have seen that it is the love of God, which is God Himself, that has brought us and given us this sonship. Now, when we go back to the book of Genesis, we saw that when God created Adam, he was in his image. And it was God's will that Adam would multiply. And when he would multiply, he would multiply in that same image that God had put in the first place. So the sons of Adam would be the sons of God and would have the image of God in them. Now, excuse me. We see here that God made us sons that we should have that which is God, the image of God, and would have the expressions or the manifestations of all that was in God Himself. So, God manifested himself in the Son of God, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what now John is telling us, that being sons of God, it does not yet appear what we shall be. But there's one thing that we know, that we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him. And we know he will appear in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ to take his children to be with him. And here we are told that when he appears, we shall be like him. So it is in God and his desire to appear to us, to come to us, to take his church. And because we are children, we have also the same desire. We want to meet him. So you see, by being born of God, and we have the qualities of God in us, we have the will of God in us, it is automatically in us to desire that which God also is desiring, that is to be one with his church. And because of that desire, it is now, like verse 3 says, and every man that hath this hope in him. So we have a hope in Jesus Christ. We have a hope in God. And because of that hope, we are given now the power to purify ourselves. Because the Bible says, because he is pure, because of what and who he is, that has been imparted on us as children of God, and we have the same desire. Now, he is pure, not by comparison. He is pure, not because there is evil. He is pure because he is pure. Before there was evil, he was pure. Before there was anything that defiled it, he was pure. So now we also desire to have that purity. Now, that is caused by the hope that is in us. So we have a hope. We are not just a people, like the Bible says, before we came to God, we were strangers. We were outside the covenants, and we were without God and without hope. So the hope that we have is not just a blind hope, but it is the hope that is the essence of God in it. Excuse me. Now, Peter puts this hope like this in the first epistle of Peter. We read this this verse, first epistle of Peter, chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy he hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, to be revealed in the last time. So can you see how now Peter connects us to John, who is telling us of the blessed hope that we have of his appearing, where we'll be like him. Now, how did we come to have that hope? If we go back to how we have seen that God imparted on us everything by the virtue or by the power of birth, it's a birthright. It is because we are born of God, because we are children. Now, because we are children, we have this hope, which Peter here says According to his abundant mercy, yet begotten us again unto a lively hope. So we have been born again to a living hope. So because the hope is a living hope, it brings us excuse me, into that which is God. And we are brought, like John says, everyone who has this hope purifies himself. So we are purified by the life and the power, the inspiration, the anointing that is in the hope that we have been born to. So being children of God, we have access to a living hope. We have the power in us not only to hope, but to have a living hope which brings into us a life of hope, which he is, Peter says, it takes us to that undefiled and incorruptible inheritance that is kept for us in heaven. And we also are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So we have a living hope that keeps us to be acceptable and pure, to go to that even undefiled inheritance. And we are kept by the power of God, which is through faith. And the scripture says, the just shall live by faith. And faith is given, as Paul puts it in Hebrews 11, that faith is something that is alive. And Paul, in the book of Hebrews, he says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we have the substance of those things that we have a hope for. Well, how do we have the substance? Because we have the life of God in us by virtue of being the children of God. So God has called us and has given us excuse me, this hope which purifies ourselves. We are not just people who are kept by do's and don'ts. We are a people that have been given the revelation of the reality and the essence of God. And by the same, we live a life that is a lively, a living life. Like Peter says, we are living stones being built into a living tabernacle, a living temple, to serve a living God in a living hope, which was given us by our being born again through the love of God, which God has bestowed upon us. So here we are. We are not just groping in darkness. We have been given the light to enable us to walk in the true light and the true life. Now, also, Paul enlightens us on this hope in the book of Hebrews, when we go to chapter 6. In verse 17, it says, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us. So God, you know, he has given us who are the heirs of the promise. He has given us the immutability of failure, even in our very life. We cannot fail. We cannot come short. We cannot be defeated, because God has placed upon us his very life by being the children of God. And God was more willing and to abundantly show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel. So there's no two ways about it. God has given us that power of unchangeability, that we may stand upon the word of God, and that we may continue in the power of his love, the power of his grace, the power of his holiness. We cannot be severed away from it. Like the Lord Jesus Christ says, the Son abideth in the house. We have been called to be in there so that we cannot move out. For the scripture here says in verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. So we have this hope as an anchor, not something that can move, because the anchor is what steadfastly holds the ship in place. So we have an anchor, and we have run into this hope as to lay our life, for we have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope that God has put in us. We have come out, we have been delivered. You know, if somebody goes to a place for refuge, it means he has come out. There is a force that is trying maybe to destroy him, trying to imprison him, trying to hold him, but he escapes that. And when he is in the refuge, like it was with Joshua, he had those six cities of refuge. When one goes into there, he is free from condemnation. He cannot be touched. He cannot be condemned. He cannot be pursued, because he has come into the city of refuge. Now, our refuge is that hope, as we hold upon that hope which is set before us. And that hope brings us into the entirety, into the absolute, into the reality, into the end of our hope, which is before, which is within the veil. And there in the veil is where the Shekinah glory is. There in the veil is where life eternal is. There in the veil is where sin is not able to take us, or to hold us, or to imprison us. All because we are the children of God. By virtue of being children, we enter into the inner veil. By virtue of being children, we hold on to that living hope, which was not just given us from outside, but we were born. It's a living hope. We have been begotten to that hope, that we may live by the power of the life, of the intention and the purpose of our calling. And John puts it, we have this hope. And because we have that hope, We purify ourselves. We purify ourselves how? By entering into the inner veil, where we are cleansed, where we are perfected, where we are preserved for that which God has called us. Now we thank God for His grace and His love. We thank God that He has not only called us to some system, but He has begotten us to be children of God, that we may live the life of God by the power and by the immutability of God's word, as He has called us to that living hope of His great appearing. One of these days, He'll appear. One of these days, we are going to be united with Him. One of these days, we are going to leave all the filth of the earth, all the filth of the world, all the filth of this present age, as we are united with Him in that glorious state wherein we will go to the eternal inheritance, which is kept for us, who are kept by the power of God through faith in His word, as hope illuminates the way for us, as hope brings in us the realities and the purpose of God. We want to thank God, brothers and sisters, that God so loved us that He bestowed upon us the sonship. We are, the Bible tells us, the children of God. We shall not be children of God. We are now the children of God. In us abides the power to overcome the world. In us abides the power to continue in the word of God. For the scripture says, fear not, for greater is He. We have overcome them, for greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. That was the greatest thing that God could do to us, is to give us the sonship, is to give us the birthright, is to give us to be children of God, that by that and only that, we can be able to claim all that is ours. We may be able to live the right life and walk the right paths. May God bless you, even as you are waiting for that day, because that is the hope of our calling. That is the hope of everything that we do, whether it is singing, preaching, whether it is prayer. Whatever we do in this time, we are doing it because of that blessed coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when He shall come to take His church and will be with Him forevermore. May that coming of the Lord bless your hearts. May that coming of the Lord cleanse you and make you walk in the light and in the purpose of the glorious will of our Father. May God bless you all. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.